Manuscript Releases, Volume 9, Number 664 to 770. MR Number 711, The Sacredness and Value of Adventist History. Since the rise of the first and second angels' messages, I have taken an active part in the work, and the evidence, as it is now given, cannot be controverted from the Word of God. We have not a shadow of a doubt as to the correct understanding of the order and character of the third angel's message and the two preceding it. We are now living under the proclamation of the message of the third angel. Many attempts will be made, as there have been in the past, to weave into the work human theories. Diligent study will be made to get up something original, but we may say, as did Paul, "Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. The Lord has led out representative men to proclaim the first, second, and third angels' messages. We know that God was with His faithful standard bearers. Many of them held fast their faith until their hands were palsied by death. "I labored with the workers, bearing the burden in the heat of the day." Our work was a part of the great web of God's plans, and nothing can be more offensive to God than to give discredit to those who have fought a good fight, who have finished their course, who have kept the faith unto the end. He says, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Revelation 14, verse 13. "They being dead yet speak. Their words, their influence, their example have lived after their death." Let not those who have been placed in responsible positions think that God has given them light to controvert the work of the faithful ones who have died in the faith. God wrought through these old pioneers of the cause, and no voice or pen should be brought into action to demerit their labor, which was full of self-denial and self-sacrifice. Their works were wrought in God. The Lord would have the youth now coming on the stage of action be assured that no irreverent hand must touch the Lord's anointed or do His prophets harm. And not only are the ones sleeping in their graves to be respected, but those who are living also. These men may err, for they are not infallible, but if they confess their mistakes, the Lord will forgive their sins and pardon their transgressions. While they cannot say, "We have never sinned," yet if they have the meekness and gentleness of Christ, the Lord will hold them more firmly than they can possibly hold the Lord. None are to boast or sneer at sacred things. Men may think themselves wise, and in their conceit seek to belittle those whom the God of heaven loves, but in this they reveal that they are not learning in the school of Christ to be meek and lowly in heart. "In the power and strength and name of the Lord God of Israel, I stand before you and say, I know in whom I have believed. I know that we have the truth in regard to the three messages. I hide myself in Jesus. I am a laborer together with God, to give the message of warning, of reproof, of encouragement, holding aloft the banner on which is inscribed our message, the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. To the church in blank, I would say, your only safety lies in walking humbly with God. Let each bear in mind that he is a thread in the great web of humanity, to act a part with his brethren and sisters in church capacity. All are to earnestly seek to make an entire surrender to God. Any question that Satan can arouse in the mind to create doubt in regard to the grand history of the past travels of the people of God will please his satanic majesty and is an offense to God. The tidings of the Lord soon coming in power and great glory to our world is truth, and in 1840 many voices were raised in its proclamation. In the place of those who have not been brought over the ground, who have not had an individual experience, when it was a positive necessity to know the truth as it was unfolding before them, in the place of these, tearing to pieces the building which has been erected on the interpretation of the prophets, Let them in all meekness fall into line and work in harmony with those whose voices are now silent in death, and with the workers who are still living. Fall into line. Obey the orders of the captain of your salvation, and bear witness of the light which the Lord has flashed upon the world in the message for these last days. Keep in step with your leader. The dealings of God with His people should be often repeated. He has worked as a wonder-working God. He has baptized His chosen messengers with the Holy Spirit. The past history of the cause of God needs often to be brought before the people, young and old, that they may be familiar with it. How frequently were the waymarks set up by the Lord in His dealing with ancient Israel, lest they should forget the history of the past? Christ, their invisible leader, commanded Moses to form these events into song, that the people of Israel might teach them to their children. It is the device of Satan to divert the mind from these things and keep it employed with unprofitable conversation, that the Lord's truth and manifest power in dealing with His people should be regarded as a thing of the past and dropped out of their remembrance. But we are exhorted to call to mind the former days. After ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Hebrews 10, verse 32. The Lord's ways and plans were given to His people. They were to gather up memorials and to lay them up where they would be in sight. Special pains were taken to preserve them, that when their children should inquire of their parents what these things meant, the whole story might be repeated. Thus the providential dealing and the marked goodness and mercy of God in His care and deliverance of His people would be kept a live subject. If these things formed the conversation of believers today, it would greatly confirm their faith and add to their spiritual growth in a knowledge of God and His ways. Satan is pleased to have the mind dwell upon matters of no consequence, to have the conversation dwell upon trifling things, while these wonderful memorials of God, the manifestations of His power, sink out of sight. This is the reason why so many have lost their first love. White Estate, Washington, D.C., March 19th, 1979.